from KQED.
For the second time, NASA has had to scrub an attempt to put a new satellite into space to measure carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and on the Earth's surface. KQED science editor Craig Miller traveled to Vandenberg Air Force Base on the Central Coast, and he woke up early this morning only to be disappointed by the launch's scrub. But he's available to talk to the California Report, and he joins us now to tell us what's going on. So, Craig, the launch was called off at T-minus 46 seconds. What happened?
Yeah, and I wasn't the only one disappointed, Rachel. But, you know, there was already enough drama surrounding this launch after they lost one, the first attempt back in 2009. A lot of pressure to get this one off the pad and into orbit. Then hours before the scheduled launch, the rollback of the service tower, that's the giant sort of silo on wheels used to prepare the rocket, was delayed by about 4 hours with a hydraulic leak, not in the rocket, but in the tower. Finally, they got everything back on track. But at T-minus 46 seconds, as you say, we heard the words nobody wanted to hear.
Yeah, hold, hold, hold. Timer, stop the clock. FAC, we got no water flow.
So that refers to the water used in the blast suppression system. They actually use water to keep the thunderous sound waves generated by liftoff from interfering with the performance of the rocket. So it's not a trivial thing. It's actually a pretty important part of the liftoff sequence. The water wasn't there. They couldn't do it. So they'll try again at the same time tomorrow morning. You know, they only have a 30-second launch window each day, Rachel, because of what they call orbital mechanics. They're basically putting this bird up there in a constellation of satellites already up there in the same... They call it the A-train going around the globe, and it's kind of like adding a car to a moving train.
So tell us about the mission behind this launch. Why are scientists so eager to get this satellite into orbit?
So this is the Orbiting Carbon Observatory, the second time around. It's designed to not just measure CO2 in the atmosphere, it does that, but also they say we'll piece together the most complete mosaic yet of the whole carbon cycle, as they call it, tracking how the planet handles carbon, not just in the air, but on the ground, in plants, and in the ocean. One guy who's been on the edge of his seat waiting for all this to happen is Mike Frelich. He's the Earth Sciences Chief at NASA.
The science is absolutely important. Understanding the natural sort distributed sources and sinks of carbon, what the processes are in the ocean, what the processes are on land, is critical for us to be able to understand how the Earth will evolve going into the future with the 36 gigatons of carbon per year that we put in. I think it's a testament to the importance, the perceived importance of this mission, that we got a second chance.
And assuming this second chance works and they do get it off the ground and into orbit this time, scientists say it'll yield essentially better forecasts 50 years down the road, even, of how carbon emissions will affect us and the planet.
How does it work exactly, the science behind measuring the carbon dioxide?
Interestingly, they use light to measure the CO2 in the atmosphere. Each type of molecule absorbs different wavelengths of light differently, oxygen molecules one way, carbon dioxide another way. And so by measuring it, essentially the prism effect of how sunlight reflects off of these CO2 molecules in the atmosphere, they can measure how much is there. It's pretty amazing what you can see from 430 miles up, but of course, first you got to get up there.
Well, Craig, thank you for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
KQED science editor Craig Miller is keeping his fingers crossed for a successful launch tomorrow morning. In the meantime, he's got all sorts of goodies posted online, including video about the project. Look for the link online at our website, californiareport.org.